Good day to all of you, and welcome back to We School's distance learning program on marketing management. We are going to discuss personal selling and sales management as a part of your chapter 13 in the course. A very quick look at the learning objectives. We are going to look at the role of the personal selling in the overall communication mix and also in the overall marketing mix. What are the steps in the personal selling process? We'll also look at the concept of publicity and understand the difference between public relations and publicity. What is personal selling? Personal selling is a direct communication between a sales representative and one or more prospective customers or purchasers for the purpose of making a sale. Personal selling can happen face to face when it is a personal sales call, or it can happen over a telephone call when it is called telemarketing. Selling is the process of transferring the enthusiasm from one person to another. The enthusiasm of the salesperson, the confidence of the salesperson to the buyer or the customer. And it is also the process of persuading the prospective customer that your product or service is of greater value to him compared to the competitor and also to the price that the customer is will be paying for it. Personal selling is a very important process, especially in B2B organizations, very important B2B organizations, because customers there have to be sold to enable the purchase to happen. Therefore, requires strategic decisions on what is the role of the sales force and how the selling in the organization is going to happen. Helping to buy is good selling, and therefore making customers or helping customers make informed choices is good selling. Typically, the salesperson represents the whole company. The salesperson is the window of the organization into what the market is wanting and requiring and into the understanding of the customer. Therefore, they are a source of data and market information and market intelligence. Finally, salespeople also double up as strategic planners because they can guide the strategy of the company based on the customer insight that they have developed after being in close contact with so many customers in the market. What are the advantages of personal selling? The first major advantage of personal selling is that it allows you to customize the message that you will send to the prospect or the customer depending on his needs and requirements. You can do product demonstrations in a personal selling. You can show the efficiency and the benefits of your product either by a demonstration or by animated presentations on your laptop. Personal selling can be directed to specific qualified prospects. A qualified prospect is a prospect whose need and requirement is clearly established. Personal selling is very important for customer satisfaction because the way in which the selling process happens is critical for the customer satisfaction process. There are two types of sellings which typically happen in the market. One is called the transaction selling, which is focused on the one-to-one, the transaction-to-transaction or one order to another in the selling process, and therefore is transaction process focused. Then you have relationship marketing or relationship selling, which is a multi-stage selling process that emphasizes on empathy, personalization, customization, keeping the long-term interest of both the seller and the customer in mind, and is designed and developed to create long-term satisfied customers. Relationship marketing also changes the focus of the selling from the value of the order, which is the value of a specific order or a transaction, to customer lifetime value. Relationship marketing also emphasizes more on customer retention than on customer acquisition, which transaction selling focuses on. And relationship marketing also tends to focus on wallet share or customer share rather than market share. Therefore, transaction selling creates economies of scale, and relationship selling or relationship marketing creates economies of scope. And these two, or both these approaches, are used by organizations. An organization will apply traditional or transaction selling for the small and medium enterprises, and it may apply relationship selling or relationship marketing to key accounts or large customers. If we compare relate personal selling to the parameters with which we compared advertising and sales promotions, the parameters are: communication mode is, compared to advertising and sales promotions, which is direct and impersonal, this is direct and face-to-face and very, very personalized. The level of communication control that the person has, or that the organization has, or the seller has, is very, very high. The feedback that you can pick up in personal selling is of a very high order and of very high quality. Feedback speed in personal selling is extremely fast and extremely high. Message flow direction, in this case, the message flow is bi-directional or two-way. Message content control, yes, there's a lot of control on the content, and of course the content is again customized for every customer. Sponsor identification, yes, you can identify who the sponsor or the sender of that message is. Reaching large audiences is difficult through personal selling, and therefore the slow process, and flexibility of message is very high, because each and every message can be tailored specifically to each and every prospect, and that is what is the beauty of this method of ad promotion. Going back to our AIDA concept, which we studied in advertising as one of the elements of marketing communication, with personal selling, how does AIDA, which is action, interest, desire, which is awareness, interest, attention, interest, desire, and action linked to personal selling. So in the first stage, if you take the attention stage, which is the attention stage of the advertisement process, the selling steps are prospecting and qualifying the prospect, and the pre-approach. What is the sales guy supposed to do at this stage? He is expected to understand the potential customer, map the potential customers, map their requirements, evaluate and select the right prospects, research the background of the customer, and prepare a customized sales pitch. If you go from the attention stage to the next stage, which is the interest stage, the typical selling steps are approach, presentation, and demonstration. The description of what does a sales guy do under this? He establishes the right atmosphere and probes the real needs and requirements of the customers. That is in the approach. In the presentation, he will highlight the features and benefits of the product. He will use the FAB way of selling, which is features, attributes, and benefits method of selling. He will highlight on the USP, which is a unique selling proposition of each product line he is selling. And he may also create a practical illustration or a proof of concept or a demonstration or a pilot for the customer at the second stage. Going further in the AIDA model, the third stage is desire. At the desire stage, the selling steps are fighting objections that the customer may have to the product or to the organization, negotiating the prices and closing the order. Now, the key activity with the sales guy does under this stage or at this stage is to listen very closely to the customer, proactively think in advance what are the possible reasons the customer may have in not giving him the order, and find ways and means of handling those objections. Find out incentives or trigger points or what we call the hot button in the customer, which will increase the ability of the customer to buy the product from him. Finally, observe the buying signals, finalize the offer, discuss the terms and conditions, and close the deal. The fourth step of the AIDA model, which is the action, agreement, follow-up, and feedback. The key, the selling steps are agreement, follow-up, and feedback. That is the key tasks that the sales guy does is he completes the sale, finishes the administrative part of the sale, which means he picks up the purchase order, he picks up the advance, then he suggests other products, he observes courtesies by sending an order acceptance, and so on and so forth. Then he delivers, communicates, removes the dissonance that the customer may have with the organization as far as the purchase or that specific product is concerned. He may receive the views, he may get the feedback of the customer, and accordingly encourage further sales or take necessary and appropriate action to see that the customer remains satisfied with him. So this is how the AIDA concept links with the personal selling process. Before we get into the steps involved in personal selling, let us look at what is changing in the world of personal selling. If you look at the buyers, which means typically the customers then, and you look at the customers now, buyers earlier were relatively simple, relatively unsophisticated. They had less awareness about substitutes and choices. They also had less options. The internet as a leveler of the market or as a unifier of customers in the market was not there. Customers were less experienced in handling aggressive and pesky salespeople. They had time available and they had patience. What happens to customers now? Customers today are very sophisticated, knowledgeable, well-informed, competent. They study, they analyze before talking to prospective suppliers. They look at the options that they have in the market. Thanks to the internet, they are connected to other customers. All those customers are talking about you on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn.com, and giving their views about your products and services. They are able to pick up options from the internet. They are able to locate suppliers through the internet. They have now become experienced buyers. They are smarter, well-educated. Work pressure is very high. Time is unavailable with them, and they are impatient and demanding. Now, what does an impatient and demanding customer do? The customer's impatience has created higher demands for quality, price, support, and innovation. In fact, selling to today's customers requires a far higher level of professional selling skills than ever before. It is becoming more and more difficult to reach out to the customer and convince the customer about your product and how and why and how he should buy your product. Today's buyers are very demanding. With experience and with the rapidity of changes that have happened in the economy and in the market, and the availability of more and more options, today's buyers are extremely cautious than they had been ever before. Why are they cautious? Buyers are afraid that they may make a mistake or they may make a wrong choice. They are afraid or they are cautious that they may pay too much or they may find something lower at some other place. They are worried about being stuck with the wrong product, the wrong technology. And they do not agree that, or they do not believe that your product or service will do the same things that you claim it will. The fear of failure and caution is making customers very, very wary of salespeople. So because of this experience, the buyer's instinctive reaction to a salesperson is to see you as someone who is intrusive, who is aggressive, who is pushy, who is trying to sell them something that either costs too much or it doesn't work as promised, or selling you something that you don't need. And therefore, to escape from a potentially negative experience, most buyers will typically tell you the following things after they have heard you out, or even if you've got a chance to make a small 2-minute pitch to them, they will say, let me think it over. It costs me too much. Why should I pay more? We are happy with our existing products and services. I have to talk to someone. Why don't you come next time? So on and so forth. Anything to avoid the sales person in the long term. So these are the changes that are happening on the customer side. Now let us look at the characteristics of person selling. What are the typical activities involved in person selling? A typical salesperson has to get the orders. He has to get the orders. He has to take the orders and he has to support the orders. And there's a whole system in place in many organizations to manage this. Now, order takers are nothing but salespeople who sell to regular or established customers, complete most transactions and maintain relationships with their customers. There are two types of salespeople that have been identified, what we call as hunters and farmers. Now, farmers are salespeople who will typically sell to existing customers with whom they already have a good relationship and a rapport. Their job is to maintain steady relationship and a steady flow of orders from these customers and relationships back to their organizations. There's another breed of salespeople who are typically called hunters. The job of the hunter is to prospect and find new customers. Now, this is a salesperson whose mindset is of a hunter and who gets a thrill of, you know, catching the customer and getting him to close a deal in his favor. These two breeds of salespeople are different in their mindset, in their psychological makeup, in their skill sets, in their ability to handle the customers, and so on and so forth. So this is the order takers, the hunters and farmers. The farmers get orders from existing customers, and hunters are people who go and get new customers for the organization. Then order taking is the next step in the order process, which is a routine completion of sales made regularly to the market customer. So after the order is picked up, you have to log it into your internal company systems, or you have to punch it in so that, you know, the delivery, invoicing, etc. can happen to your customer. And then after the invoicing is done, you can go and pick up the payment. Then along with the order process, in the order processing, there are a number of people who get involved in the whole process who support the salespeople. So there are supporting salespeople. Typically, these are salespeople who help the order-oriented salespeople but don't pick up the order themselves. So they support the sales in their customer-facing role of getting the order from the customer, but they don't themselves pick up the order. Then there are machinery salespeople who work along with a sales guy by calling on the middlemen and their customers, and what they do is evangelizing of the product, the technology, and the organization. Then you have technical specialists or subject matter experts, who are typically people who come with a lot of technology understanding or a lot of knowledge about the subject, of the customer's interest and provide a backup to the sales guy in case the customer gets very demanding as far as the technology or the product goes, or as far as the domain knowledge or the solution goes. And finally, you have team selling, in which different people in the organization come together to help close a deal in a specific account. So this is the typical supporting salesperson's role. Behind this supporting salespeople role, which is for the customer facing, are a whole lot of order processors who will, you know, pick up the orders that the sales guys have brought in and punch it into the system, log it into the system, track it, how the order is happening. They will track the life cycle of the order the moment it is punched to the system and till the goods are finally dispatched to the customer. Let us look at the major steps in an effective sales. So there are 7 steps involved in effective selling. The first one is prospecting and qualifying customers, the pre-approach, the approach, the presentation and the demonstration, handling objections, closing, and the follow-up. Let us understand each of these steps in a little more detail. The first step is lead generation. Now, lead generation is nothing but prospecting. In the market, you have what we call a pool of people who are potential prospects. In the sales terminology, called suspects. What are suspects? Suspects are possible prospects. The job of the sales guy is to identify either people or organizations who are most likely to buy the seller's products. And these people, the identification of these firms and people is called prospects. A prospect is a potential customer. Now, how do you get leads? You get leads through references. Existing customers can give you references. You can get leads from networking, which means you network in the market, you talk to people, and you get leads to, if someone is looking out for products and services that your organization sells. You can also get leads through cold calling. You knock on the doors of customers and say, hey, Mr. Customer, this is what I sell, this is what I can provide you with, and check if they are interested in buying the product and service from you, which is typically called cold calling. Now, lead generation gives you a list of people or a list of organizations who could be your possible customers. The next stage in the process of selling is lead qualification, which means you did identify prospects who have a clear, underlined, recognized need, the buying power, the budgets, the disposable income, the receptivity and accessibility to buy your product and service. So, out of the list of prospects that you've generated in the first step of lead generation, you will qualify these prospects into prospects who have an immediate need and prospects who have a long-term need and prospects who don't have a need. After you have done the pre-qualification process, you will go to the next stage in the selling process, which is the approach. Now, before you approach the prospect, you have to do what is called the pre-approach, which is the time that the sales guy takes in planning the sales call. He will try to understand as much about the customer as possible in the pre-approach stage, or about the customer's organization and the buying center, that is the people who are involved in the purchase process. He will try to map the customer. He will go to their website, he will read their balance sheet, etc., etc., to understand and get some knowledge about what activity the customer is into. After he has done that pre-approach homework, he will then approach the prospect and make a pitch about his company and about his product and brand. After that, the sales proposal, the next step in the selling process is the sales proposal, which is a document that gives the specifications and the details of what the company's product and service is and whether and how it will meet the customer's requirement, along with the prices and commercial terms and conditions, etc., etc. At the sales proposal stage, the customer has explained the sales proposal, the product that is being suggested for him, At this stage, the customer may have several options in mind, so the sales proposal may even carry those options, and the customer is given time to study the entire proposal in depth. After the customer has studied the proposal in depth, the next stage that the selling process enters is the negotiation phase, the objection phase. The customer may come up with some issues or some criticisms or some objections to the proposal. Now, anticipating the possible objections the customer can have, either to the proposal or to the solution or to the entire proposal, is a method of preparing for them. You have to find a way of handling those objections. You have to find a way of changing the resistance to, the resistance to change that the customer may have in changing from one, say, a product to another product, or from one company to another company. Apathy and, the dislike of the salesperson. So you handle the objections and go to closing the sale. At the end of this, at the end of the presentation, typically the salesperson attempts to close the sale. At the closure stage, negotiation plays a very important role in the selling cycle. Negotiation is the agreed terms and conditions between the buyer and the seller. It could be in terms of price, delivery, quality, after sales support, and the other terms and conditions, payment terms, and so on and so forth. The next step after the negotiations is the follow-up. In the follow-up stage, the sales guy is following up with the customer to give him the purchase order, to give him the advance, and to release the purchase order and release the advance so that the sale can be completed. Typically, most businesses will rely on repeat sales, so it is at this stage the sales guy will now attempt to offer other products that the company has to the customer now that the first order has come in. Now, in order to keep ensuring that the customer remains happy, there's a lot of follow-up involved in the selling process, and this follow-up is done on both sides. The follow-up, the sales guy follows up with the customers for the advance and other documents that he may be needing. He also follows up internally in his own organization to ensure that whatever has been promised to the customer is delivered according to that promise. So salespersons will work with the internal with their internal colleagues in the organization to ensure that delivery schedules are met, that goods or services perform as per promised, that they get the necessary and the requisite installation, commissioning, and commissioning support, and they also get the right amount of after-sales service, and that the buyer's employees are properly trained to use their products. So sales management refers to the entire process of managing the entire personal selling effort, the management of the sales force, the order processing, the management of the sales administration, management of the sales operations, determining the sales objectives, quotas, targets for the various sales guys, handling their incentives and compensation, and so on and so forth. So this is the entire process of sales management. The key tasks of the sales management is to define the sales goals and the sales targets. It defines the selling process. What are the steps that the organization will take in the selling process? How will it effectively meet customer requirements? And how will it effectively handle the process at the back end to manage the customer requirements? They determine the sales force structure. They determine the number of people in the sales force. The sales management process recruits and trains the sales force, plans the compensation and the motivation of the sales force, and evaluates the sales force from a performance perspective. In terms of the role of the sales force, personal selling is a paid personal form of communication or promotion. It involves a two-way personal communication between salespeople and the customer or the prospect. The salesperson is the front face of the organization. He is the brand ambassador of the organization to the customer. The salesperson targets the right customers, the right prospects, maps the right customers. He understands the customer's needs, requirements, pain areas, and problems. He adjusts and fine-tunes the marketing plan to fit the special requirements of the customer. He will negotiate the terms of the sales and condition, terms and conditions of the sale. And finally, he will build long-term personal relationships with the customers. Now, in terms of the role of the sales force serves as a bridge, as a critical link between the company and its customers. The sales force represents the company to the customer. In the reverse role, they represent the customer back to the company. The end goal is customer satisfaction and long-term company profit. A very, very critical role with the sales guy plays in the entire organization. What are the steps involved in the sales force management? The first important step in the sales force management is to design the selling strategy and the sales force strategy and structure. Basis which you do the recruiting and selection of people, you train the salesperson, you compensate and motivate the salesperson, supervise the salesperson, and evaluate the performance of the salesperson. So the sales force structure can be of various types. It can be territorial in nature, in which case the sales guys are allotted certain territories, and it is their responsibility to sell the entire product line of the company to all the customers within that territory. So there could be territorial structure, which means you can have a salesperson for Mumbai, another salesperson for Pune, or you can even have, since Mumbai is a very large area, you can have a salesperson for North Bombay, salesperson for Thane, and so on and so forth. The second way the sales force structure can be organized is on the basis of product, which means you have sales force aligned on product lines. So you may have sales force for air conditioning products, you may have sales force for refrigeration products, you may have sales force for other products. The third way in which the sales force structure can be aligned is based on customer unit or verticals. In that case, the sales organization is aligned on segments or on industry verticals. Like you may have the banking vertical, you may have the IT and ITES vertical, you may have the government vertical, you can have the manufacturing vertical, which means a salesperson working in that vertical will only handle IT customers or government customers or manufacturing customers or banking customers, as the case may be. And you can also have complex sales force structures, which combines several different types of structures depending on the organization, depending on the opportunity, depending on the products and services that you're offering to the market. In terms of recruiting and selecting salespeople, it is the typical salesperson is a person with a high level of energy, loves to meet and interact with people, is internally motivated to achieve customer satisfaction, has a very purposeful, disciplined work style. He has the ability to handle negotiations and close deals, and he has the ability to start, build, nurture, and manage relationships with key customers. So if these are the key elements of a salesperson, you recruit people with these kind of attributes. Compensating salespeople, there are various types of compensation methods of salespeople. Of course, all salespeople will have a fixed component of their salary. They will also have a variable component coming in the form of commission, bonuses, or incentives. Then they are paid reimbursement of expenses related to, the purpose of doing business on behalf of the company, and then they enjoy fringe benefit like vacations, sick leaves, pensions, and also skills upgradation and training programs, which could be a part of their motivation. Many salespeople, or most salespeople, require an enabling environment in which to work in, and therefore the organization culture, the environment in which they work and operate, needs to be very positive, inducive or conducive to selling, conducive to getting orders from the customer. Salespeople need targets. Without targets, the effort on the selling comes down, and hence devising a scientific way of giving them targets is very critical for salespeople. Then positive non-monetary incentives like sales meetings, sales contests, recognition, awards, honors, cash awards, trips, profit sharing are other ways in which you will, you know, incentivize the salespeople to remain motivated on their customers and targets. Having done Salesforce or personal selling, let us look at public relations. Public relations as a process examines and understands what are the public attitudes towards the organization, towards the company, towards the corporate. It identifies issues that may elicit some public response and executes programs and campaigns to create a positive view about the company and its culture. Publicity, on the other hand, is the effort to capture media attention, sometimes unnecessarily. In public relations, again, if you were to compare on the parameters on which we've compared promotion, advertising, sales promotions, and personal selling, the communication mode in publicity, again, is usually indirect and usually impersonal. The control over the communication is moderate to low. Feedback amount is little or negligible. Feedback speed is delayed, so there's a lag between the time when the PR campaign is going on and till you get feedback from your target audience. Message flow direction is typically unidirectional or one-way. Message content control, not much. Sponsor identification is typically not there in public relations. Reaching large audiences or large numbers of audiences is usually good and fast because you're using mass media, and flexibility. Usually you do not have flexibility because one single message goes to the entire target audience. Summary or summarizing, personal selling is direct communication between the organization's representative and the customer for making a sale. There are two types of selling happening, which is the transactional selling, which is focused on a specific order, and relationship selling, which emphasizes on personalization, customization, and empathy to get long-term customer relationship and orders. So, important steps in selling include lead generation to follow up, and the sales management is the process that manages the entire personal selling effort, the recruitment and selection of salespeople, the structure of the sales organization, the sales administration, the sales operations, and so on and so forth. In the sales process, the targets or the objectives are identified either in rupee terms or volume or market share for the sales guy to be able to sell effectively. And with this, we end this session on personal selling and public relations. Thank you so much for your time and attention.